Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Joining us now, we have a special guest, and I'm gonna set this up, and I like to do something I saw when I initially went on to her website, and it says, does this sound familiar? My claim has been denied by my employer, an insurance company, or the government. I don't know what my rights are. I've been harassed by a case manager or a claim adjuster. I'm confused by all of the paperwork I need to fill out. I feel like giving up. Do any of these statements describe your situation? Well, if it does, I so happen to have somebody who is here. It's Julie Ann Soprano. She is an attorney who practices law. We're going to talk about some of those statements that I just described. Three locations, Falmouth, Dennis, and Plymouth. Welcome to Monday Night Talk, attorney.
Thank you so much for having me.
First and foremost, talk to me about that particular little statement that is at the top of your website. What type of law do you practice, and how does it describe that little paragraph?
My practice is focused primarily on workers' compensation. We only represent employees. We don't represent any insurance companies. And we also are involved with disability work. We do Social Security disability, supplemental security income claims. We do public employee retirement work, which involves municipal employees applying for disability benefits. And we also do unemployment work.
Are you the only one? Is it just you, or do you have others who are working in your office?
Yes, I have an associate. Her name is Gina Giorgio. She does primarily the Social Security and unemployment issues, and we have a full staff of paralegals.
Talk to me about today's day and age when it comes to dealing with insurance companies or providing protection and information for folks who may feel lost, who don't know where to turn, and sometimes feel overwhelmed when they have to deal with an insurance company.
Well, the whole process is overwhelming for people because usually the reason why people are involved in these issues to begin with is that they've had some type of injury mm-hmm. or they become ill. So they're not on the top of their game to begin with. You're dealing with an entity that has usually a lot more resources than the average individual, either an insurance company or the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
People don't have all the information. Obviously, insurance companies typically have attorneys on staff that represent them, and they advise them every step of the way in terms of what their rights are and what the law is. So people are in a disadvantaged situation. Many people who call us out of pure frustration after trying to deal with issues themselves, having their claims denied either by an adjuster or by an entity like Social Security.
What's usually the first thing that you do as far as if somebody comes in? I would imagine that you'll do a free consultation and discuss with them their case and see if it's something that can move forward. Does it work like that?
The way it works is that clients will call the office. They'll speak to one of the paralegals who will do an intake with their information, and then it will be given to one of the attorneys who will then call them and discuss the situation to make sure it's a case that we feel that we are able to handle. And then we will schedule the client for an in-person interview in one of the offices, depending on where the client lives, what is the most convenient location for them. They'll come in, meet with the attorney, and then if we decide that they have a case, we will then enter into a fee contract with them. The way that we work is a contingency fee basis, and we do not charge hourly rates. So the client is not in a situation where they have to come up with a retainer or pay an hourly fee.
You just stole my next question.
I'm sorry.
No, but it's good. You're on top of your game, and that's good. That's what you want from somebody who's going to represent you. Because my next question was going to be, what if I cannot afford, you know, a lawyer? And you basically answered that, is that, you know, you work on a contingency basis, correct?
Most clients are very afraid to contact a lawyer because of the fact that they do not know how they are going to afford it.
Right.
And what I can say to you is that there is no reason not to contact us. We absolutely will talk to you on the phone for a consultation. And if we feel that you have a viable case, most of these cases are done on a contingency fee basis. All of the workers' compensation work and most of the Social Security work is done that way. And then we can figure out where to go from there.
Someone qualifies, you're able to enter into an agreement. What kind of benefits could they expect to receive, or would you be seeking in regards to workers' compensation?
Workers' compensation, the two main benefits that people are entitled to are either weekly compensation benefits, which are premised on the fact that the client is injured and cannot work, either in the job that they held at the time of the injury or in any capacity at all. So people either receive what are called total disability benefits or partial disability benefits. Those are cash payments that are made by the insurance company every week to subsidize the employee while they're out of work. Mm. The other major benefit that people receive under workers' compensation is medical treatment for their injuries. Anything that is work-related as a result of that accident or injury should be paid for by the compensation carrier, and that can include a range of services, prescriptions, doctor's appointments, physical therapy, and any other treatment that the doctor suggests, as long as it's reasonable and necessary from a medical standpoint and is related to the injury, the insurance carrier is responsible for paying it. There are other benefits that the carrier can be responsible for down the line, but the major benefits that people receive in comp, usually at the beginning of a case, is weekly benefits and medical treatment. And the whole goal, of course, is to try to get them back to work and back to their lives as soon as possible.
Again, we're speaking with attorney Julie Ann Soprano. I talked to her about her practice as they are located in Falmouth, Dennis, and Plymouth, and talking about the type of law that she practices and how she could best serve you. Perhaps you might want to enlist in her services somewhere down the road. Never hurts to kind of mentally retain that. I'll give it out a couple times during our segment here. Maybe folks want to follow along at home. A website. Do you have a website for folks to be able to find out more about some of the stuff we're talking about? Because we can't talk about everything, but we can at least touch upon the surface of the number of different things that you are available for.
We absolutely have a website. It's www.julianneSoprano.com. And the website is quite extensive.
It is.
And has a lot of information on it with respect to every area of law that we practice in, the attorneys involved in the practice, the paralegals, the staff is very important in terms of the overall operation of the office. So we try to include all their information there too. There are legal resources and websites available for further information.
And I believe you even have a blog on there as well. And I found the blog that you have on there currently, I found interesting because it deals with mental illness. And we know that that's something that's very prevalent these days, especially when it comes to Social Security disability. Talk to me, what does it mean? What does mental illness mean when it comes to disability?
It depends on what system you're talking about.
Okay.
Social Security has its own criteria that it uses to define when someone is disabled as a result of mental illness, and it would depend upon the particular diagnosis that the client has, whether they suffer from depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder, and they have certain criteria that they employ in terms of listing the symptoms that the client is experiencing, whether they're feeling a sense of worthlessness or in loss of interest in activities, whether they've had a change in eating habits or sleeping habits. So there's symptoms that they use to define the condition. And then they look at how severe those symptoms are. There are many people who suffer from conditions like depression,
yep,
but not everyone is disabled as a result of it. So it depends upon the severity level. And in order to qualify for disability benefits under a system like Social Security, your symptoms have to be quite significant, what Social Security terms marked impairments in different aspects of your life. Are they interfering with your ability to engage in daily activities? Are they interfering with your ability to concentrate and think? Are they interfering with social interactions? And if you have the symptoms that are then at the severity level, that you have these marked interferences, that would be considered to be sufficient to qualify for Social Security disability. If you're applying for different benefits like workers' compensation or for public retirement benefits, there could be different definitions that are employed. But in general, they're going to look at what symptoms you have and how significantly they interfere with your condition. We do a lot of work with people who have various forms of mental illness. I myself sit on the board of directors for the National Alliance of Mental Illness, which is called NAMI, for Cape Cod and the Islands. And so I am involved with it on several different levels in my practice and also in the community.
Who ultimately decides if one is disabled?
That's a really good question. And that depends upon what system you're in.
Okay.
If you're applying for workers' compensation benefits, let's say, and people might not necessarily see the connection with something like a mental illness with respect to a work injury, let's say someone was involved in a workplace violence incident and they now have a post-traumatic stress disorder and that's the background of their disability claim. Ultimately, it's an administrative law judge that will make a determination about whether the person is disabled. And that will be based upon medical evidence from the person's own physicians, from the insurance company's doctors, potentially from a state-appointed doctor. The person will go ultimately to a trial where they will testify, and a judge would have to make a decision about whether they believe the person, about the severity of their symptoms, and whether that is in accord with the medical evidence. If you're looking at something like Social Security benefits, then again, you're looking at a judge in the Social Security Administration ultimately making that determination. Although it's possible, not frequently, for people to get favorable decisions at lower levels in Social Security.
Right.
But the majority of people will end up going to a hearing with a judge.
Now, is the hearing something that it's something that takes a while to get to? Is it a matter of having going through the process with the Social Security Administration? Or is it a matter of once a claim is filed, then there's a hearing and then there's benefits? How does that work?
Every one of these systems has their own process.
Okay.
And unfortunately, for the average person, it's lengthy.
Okay.
Even though in legal terms, some of them may be what we call quicker. Mm. The compensation system is thought to be a rather expedited process, but you are still looking at a minimum if you have to get to a judge, even for an initial determination, probably 4 to 6 months.
Okay.
And most people cannot withstand a loss of income for that period of time without having a real hardship. In Social Security, if you have to go through the process ultimately to get to a hearing with a judge, by the time you get there and you get a decision, the average person will be in the system approximately 2 years.
Let's say someone is, something is put forth, a judge approves this, is there some kind of a back benefit? Is there, what I'm saying, as far as
retroactive benefit,
or is it starts from where the judge gives the approval to go ahead and get benefits?
Again, it depends on the system that you're in, and it's a complicated question with respect to Social Security.
So many moving parts, right?
There are, because there's different rules for different systems. In general, with Social Security benefits, you can get some measure of retroactive benefits. Usually it's a year prior to the application for a Social Security disability claim. With SSI benefits, you can only get benefits back to the date you applied. But again, if it took you 2 years to get to the hearing with a judge, then you'd get those 2 years of back benefits at least that you'd been waiting for. With respect to workers' compensation, generally you can make a claim for benefits back to whatever date it is that you're alleging you became unable to work, and you can ask a judge to order retroactive benefits.
Okay. What's some of the benefits that they'll receive? And is there a length of time? And to kind of throw it on the back end, it's kind of a question is twofold. Can somebody eventually return to work? Is that kind of the hope?
That's always the hope.
Okay.
No one comes into my office saying they want to be on disability benefits
long term. Right.
Most people find themselves at the door because they've exhausted all their other resources to try to return to work readily, and they can't, and they're forced to seek out alternative sources of support. The goal is always to try to return people back to their lives, back to their jobs, back to normalcy. It depends on the person's situation, how long that may take, and whether that ultimately will be achieved in the same way that they knew it, or maybe it will be in a different form. Maybe they'll have to undergo retraining and get into a different field in order to make the next move in their lives and, you know, take the next step forward. So it really depends upon the individual's own situation and the system that they're in. In general, with respect to workers' compensation, you can receive a temporary total benefit for a maximum period of 3 years. There are partial benefits that are potentially payable. Those are a maximum of 5 years. And with Social Security disability, the benefits are, there's no time limit on them, although they do reviews to see whether, you know, your condition has improved and whether you're capable of returning to work. I mean, I could give you an example of a client who was injured. We have many people who work in the construction trades.
Sure.
Person has a back injury. I have a client right now who was a union construction worker, sustained a back injury, has been out of work, had surgery, went through his post-operative rehabilitation program. His doctor has now indicated to him that he can no longer return to that heavy kind of work. So he is in a situation where he has got to look at being retrained into a different field. He went through the Department of Industrial Accidents Vocational Rehabilitation Division, was found suitable for services, and is now working with them to figure out where he can transfer, hopefully maybe some of his construction skills, into a new line of work. And sometimes people end up going into a field that they weren't in before. I had a carpenter recently who was retrained into a medical coding and billing job and ended up working at a hospital.
Wow. We just about less than 10 minutes left here in the segment. Time flies when you're having fun
here. It does.
And again, we're speaking with attorney Julie Ann Soprano, with three locations again, Falmouth, Dennis, and Plymouth. Feel free to give her a call if any of these particular things apply to you. Talk to me about public retirement, and having to deal with the system. What's that like, and what's some of the services you offer in that area?
Public retirement benefits are available to people who work for a municipality, the state government, or some type of quasi municipal entity like a housing authority. I recently had a client come in who worked for a local housing authority and was injured. That person will be, this is a good example of how one injury can lead to the availability of potentially several different sets of benefits. That person fell off a ladder. He unfortunately fractured his ankle, and he is now collecting workers' compensation benefits for the state system. He is also working for a municipal agency, so he will ultimately, if he's incapable of returning to his job as a maintenance worker, be able to apply for public retirement benefits. These workers pay into the state retirement system or their local retirement system versus Social Security. So the application is made through their local retirement board. On the Cape, it's the Barnstable County Retirement Board. In this area, there's Plymouth County Retirement. Every town has its own board that deals with these applications. For the retirement system, what you have to show is that you had an injury that was covered, which is a whole different area that we probably don't have time to get into, but sometimes it's easy to show that you were injured at work, and sometimes it isn't under the public retirement system. If you were injured during the course of your duties while working, and now you are incapable of returning to the job that you held, and that incapacity is permanent, you will be entitled to accidental disability retirement benefits. And you will be paid benefits at 72% of your average salary. So the benefits are very, very good under that system, and they are potentially lifelong if the injury is lifelong. However, qualifying for them initially can be somewhat tricky in some instances. In the state workers' compensation system, many types of injuries are covered that might not be covered in the accidental disability world. I'm going to give you an example of this because it's very complicated. Let's say you were at work and you were you punched out and you fell down as you were walking down the stairs to go to your car. In that instance, you would be covered under the state workers' compensation system. The law covers you while you're on your employer's premises. You would not be covered for accidental disability retirement benefits because you were not engaged in the actual performance of your duties. So there are different elements that become very important depending on what system you're involved with.
Okay. Let's talk about the final service that you offer, at least in this particular segment. Unemployment law, and I'm thinking that what we've seen over the past several years, you may see a little bit of an uptick in clientele coming in and looking for your services because of some, they're looking for eligibility and depending on their particular situation. Talk to me about that area.
Well, if you have been terminated from your job or you have left your job for reasons beyond your control, you may be looking for unemployment benefits. In general, the fact that you were terminated from your position does not mean that you are ineligible for unemployment. There are very specific rules that limit an employer's ability to block your receipt of unemployment. So basically, the people that we see are people who have left work and their employers are fighting their unemployment claims. But if the person was terminated for reasons, you know, the employer just came to them one day and said, we don't need your services anymore, that is not going to block an unemployment claim. And conversely, sometimes people are forced to leave work for circumstances that are beyond their control. They may have a sick child. They may have a sick, someone in their family who needs help. There may be child care issues.
Dependent benefits, yeah.
And they have to leave work. And that will not necessarily disqualify them from benefits either. So sometimes people have broad conceptions of the rules, which are mistaken, and they think that they may not be qualified for benefits. You really should contact a lawyer in order to determine what benefits you're entitled to. Just because someone says no doesn't mean that you're not qualified.
Definitely. Very nice. Is there anything that we haven't talked about during this particular segment that you feel is important for us to discuss for a couple of minutes?
Well, I think in general, what I see is a reticence on the part of clients to contact lawyers because, A, they're afraid they don't know how they're going to pay for it. And I think we've talked about that we'll talk to anyone on the phone. And frankly, even if you don't have a case, I'm happy to speak with someone to see if I can give them some information that may be of value to them later on down the line. Secondly, there's a feeling on the part of a lot of clients that they don't want to be seen as trying to take advantage of the system. I can assure you that getting information is not taking advantage of the system. The other side usually knows what the rules are, and all you're trying to do is level the playing field. So you really should take the time to make the call and then make a determination about whether it's something that you're going to pursue. But the fact that someone has denied you in and of itself is not relevant. We don't take no for an answer.
I think that's good. If you were my attorney, I would hope you wouldn't take no for an answer. Talk to folks as to, it's great that you have three different locations for folks to be able to stop by at any time if they have any questions in any of these areas. Where are your three locations, so folks will know?
The main office is in Falmouth, and that's where we do all the client intakes. And we ask people to call the office at 1-800-584-1116. They can access us also through the web. If they go through the website, there's a contact form there. We have offices in Dennis in Plymouth where we see people by appointment. So we're happy to arrange whatever works for the client.
Well, talk to me about having your law office in effect since 1992. Talk to me, let folks know your experience and, you know, anything else that we've overlooked talking about this particular segment.
I've been in practice since 1991, which is somewhat amazing to me when I look in the mirror, but it's true. And I've basically concentrated my practice in these areas for the last 20 years. So I think that we clearly have the experience and the know-how when it comes to these types of matters. And I would again encourage people who have questions to give us a call. it's very important that people have information. Information really is power.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it turns out to be a case or not. I want people to have the information that they need and be able to make the decisions that they feel are best for them.
Again, you can visit the Law Office of Julianne Soprano's website, www.julianesoprano.com, serving Cape Cod and Plymouth. I want to thank you very much for coming in, and hopefully we'll hear from you again down the road, and hope you have great holidays.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. It was wonderful, and I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
All right. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Do not go anywhere.